Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
The Bible is replete with more. It is about not just getting a life, but discovering how to live that life and all that comes with it. And the scripture that talks about eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, that's not talking about heaven, that's between here and heaven.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that's something everyone is desperate to hear. And speaking of that, we have some very exciting news to share with you about the program. We have a goal that's going to reach the world, and we're going to need your help. Richard will share more about it a little later, but you can check it out right now and get on board at richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Chicken Eagle. So I was sitting with a guy the other day and talking through his life and challenges in his life. And out of nowhere, I began to talk to him about the difference in a chicken and an eagle. I don't know where it came from, but since then I've discovered that there's all kind of stuff out there about chickens and eagles. But there's one distinction in the contrast between the two. Some people will say, well, you know, you're an eagle. You're supposed to be an eagle, but you're trapped with a bunch of chickens, and that's not what, you know, what God made you to be. The problem is we were all born chicken. So it's not like some stories, an eagle egg got rolled into a chicken coop and it hatched and the eagle came out and that eagle thought that he was a chicken and he didn't know he could fly, you know, all this stuff. And, well, that sounds interesting, except that that's just not true. We're all chicken. And we live these lives, wings, we can't fly really, unless a fox comes in, you can get up a few steps, but you live cooped up, so to speak, and just pecking around on the ground. And is that what God intended? And I was trying to explain to this guy, I don't think that's what he intended. Nothing wrong with chickens. It's just, that's not all we got. So how do you get the eagle thing going? Well, you got to be rehatched. He said, well, that sounds impossible, about like being born again sounds, right? How can you be alive and be born again? Well, it's just me. Something has to change on the inside where you say, well, I'm still in this body, but I'm a different creation. We'll read these verses in a minute. So I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about this and how if you're not a Christian, you're still chicken and you're going to die chicken. Maybe on a grill somewhere, but you know, you're going to die chicken. You say, well, I don't want to die chicken. Well, then you got to become an eagle. How to become an eagle? Only God can turn a chicken into an eagle. Now, the thing I deal with personally and with people that I sit with, and don't take this too far, somebody's going to write me a letter, but theologically, that is not true. I'm like, just chill, just listen. If you're a chicken, you get turned into an eagle, and you're still just pecking around on the ground, and you're still living chicken in an eagle body, a bunch of eagles fly in and go, what's up with him? What's up with her? Well, they're friends. Well, but does he not know he can fly? Oh, no, we haven't gotten there yet. He flaps his wings, but he thinks he's trapped. It is easier to turn a chicken into an eagle than it is to get the chicken out of the eagle, where that mindset where you think, this is all I got. So I got lots of people I sit with, and some of them become Christians with me. Some of them are already Christians, but they're trapped. They're cooped up. They think this is all there is. And you read the scripture and you go, clearly that's not all there is. Just I became a Christian and that's it. How do you kind of fly the coop? How do you get out of there and do what we'll read here in the scriptures? All right, go to Deuteronomy 32. So there is, and through the years, if you've been here or been listening to any period of time, you know I'll say this. There is way more, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. There's way more to becoming a Christian than just saying, okay, I believe God that Jesus came, born a virgin, died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, raised from the dead, and he's offering eternal life. I accept eternal life as a gift, move in, he's in, and that's it. Okay, so now in our scenario today, you're an eagle. I'm happy with being an eagle. I don't need to fly. I don't need anything else. But the Bible is replete with more. It is not just about that. It is about not just getting a life, but discovering how to live that life and all that comes with it. And the scripture that talks about eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him, that's not talking about heaven. That's between here and heaven. So what does that mean? Eyes not seen. Nobody's seen it. Nobody's heard about it. Hadn't even entered a person's mind the things that God has prepared for those that love him here and now. So are you getting in on that? Tremendous joy, tremendous peace, love, all the fruit of the Spirit, everything that he's offering. And so I keep pushing with people. And part of the main reasons of discipleship is you say, okay, well, somebody became a Christian. Now I'm going to disciple that person. That is all about them discovering the more, the opening up of what is possible, what you have capacity for because God moved in. You didn't know you could. Deuteronomy 32. So this is a description here of this is a reference to Israel that he's talking about here. Verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreads out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, talking about Israel and the nation of Israel, and there was no foreign God with him. So the imagery here is lofty. It's this eagle who stirs up the nest, hovers over its young, but at some point, the way a mama eagle teaches her eagles to fly is they'll get out there flapping, trying to fly, but if something goes wrong, she will swoop under those young eaglets and catch them and fly until they get it figured out. So God caring for his people. And the last little phrase there, pretty powerful, there was no foreign God with him. But he intends for you to soar. He intends for you to do way more than just peck around on the ground till you die. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's start Isaiah 40 verse 29. And this is Old Testament, right? But even in the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God would come on certain people, in the New Testament, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And trying to explain this to myself, forget explaining it to you, this whole thing that the Holy Spirit moves in, the same person, the same God who made the entire universe lives in me, and he's not leaving me. So if I have God literally living in my physical body, what is possible in my own life and what is possible for him to do through my life? With God, nothing is impossible. Then am I even thinking about these things, even saying, okay, God, what do you want to do with my life? And it's usually way bigger than you can come up with. And what we tend to do with each other and ourselves is say, well, but you know, you can't do that, or you know, you'll get in trouble, or that's not supposed to happen, or we're not those kind of people, or you don't have an education for that. Just come up with excuses why you can't. Instead of saying, okay, God, if this is your will, let's go. And then all of a sudden you're out there going, wait, how did this happen? There are a lot of people out there, and some that use this chicken eagle example, and I went and did some research, but it doesn't really involve God at all. It's all a mindset thing. And if you think powerfully, or if you think positively, that you can do extraordinary things, look at what people do without God. Imagine what you can do with God, right? Positive thinking, and their whole lives change, and they're productive, and they make money. But is it all for their glory, or is it for the glory of God? You sign up with him and say, okay, I don't want you to just live in me. I want you to live through me. Then all of a sudden, his glory comes into the picture, and what he's trying to accomplish, not just for you and through you, but for himself, what he is trying to get done that will point people to him. So Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the weak. So I'm a Christian. I feel weak. Where do I get my power? I don't have to go for an external generator. I have a generator living in me. He is the generator. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. So even think, well, they're kids. They'll never get tired. Even they are faint and weary. And young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So you don't take matters into your own hand. You don't say, okay, well, God's not going to show up for me. I've got to fix this. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And then this imagery, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Has anybody here ever seen an eagle take off? Video, in person even. It's a sight. I've seen them in nests, just kind of flapping their wings. They're not going anywhere. But if you see an eagle that is either in a nest or even on the ground, if they're aloft somewhere on a cliff, you know, they just kind of dive in and catch the wind. But if they're on the ground, they got a wingspan and they start pumping those wings. You're talking about mounting up with wings like eagles. You're not in your circumstance anymore. You are flying. You are flying. You got different perspective. You see the world differently. And God is saying, wait for me, and this is what will happen. This is what he describes it as. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run, not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. So make sure whatever you're going through, you're just going through it. Don't camp out. right? Don't go, oh, this must be my life. Say, God, if it's my life, okay, give me the strength to handle this. But if this is not my life, help me get above this. One of my favorite terrifying things to do is to take off in a plane in a storm. Pouring rain, lightning, just a mess, wind. What do you know about every storm you take off in? If you just give it a minute, fly through the clouds, if they go high enough, all of a sudden it breaks up and there is not a cloud in the sky above you, sunshine. You're like, you just got to clear the storm. And he gives you the strength to be that person, to live that life. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 4. Now this is going to be a little bit more. These verses I'm about to read you are more in the contrast from a chicken to an eagle, a non-believer to a believer. Okay, Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So the old me, when I became a Christian, biblically, when Jesus died, I died. I was buried, raised from the dead. So the old me is supposed to be dead. There's a new me. It's not the old me. It's a complete new creation. I'll read you here in just a minute. Old things passed away, everything new. So if everything's new, and I'll read you this too, your brain, you have to realize your brain is different. What you're supposed to think about and can think about is different. You don't have to pursue the same old stuff. It doesn't have to all be about pleasure and accumulation and selfishness. It can be about God, about his glory, about pointing to him, about serving, not taking, but giving. It's all totally backwards. So you realize that's a new mindset. It's that newness, walk in that newness of life. It's a new life. Sure, it gets weird. And I shared this just the other day talking to somebody. When these things that I'm talking to you about started to make sense for me, it was really awkward because I did not know how to fly. I didn't know how to be free. I didn't know how to live this life that I'm describing to you. I didn't know what peace would feel like, what love would look like, what joy would look like. And so it took me a minute to get comfortable. Like, I'm not supposed to be here. It shouldn't be this good. I had felt bad for so long that I felt guilty for feeling good. I just had gotten so used to feeling bad, shame, guilt, fear, doubt, all that, or just all in my head, that when I finally got some freedom and some peace and some joy, I was like, wow, this can't be right. It's too good. And I kind of had withdrawals from that old way of thinking, that old way of anxiety and stress and what I'd lived with. I just had peace finally. And I was like, wow, what in the world is this? And then for a while, I was actually angry because nobody had ever told me this, because I'd wanted to kill myself. It couldn't make life work. And then an old man tried to begin to tell me what this meant and what this was about. And then I thought, why did someone not tell me this? So I'm trying. You're sitting here, you're watching, you're listening. I'm trying. You got to engage and say, God, if there's more than just a ticket to heaven, you've got to show me what that is. I am teachable. If I've gotten something wrong or I don't understand something, then help me find people who seem to have this that are flying around me every day and keep swooping in to help me to get in on this taking flight and fly this coop, so to speak, and get on with the life you intended. Go to another one with me. I referenced this, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And this phrase, new creation, is like going back to Adam and Eve, where God takes dirt and makes Adam. He creates things, something from nothing. Universe speaks words, boom, universe appears. So when God says that if you're in Christ, he is a new creation, that means you are a totally new person. Like he didn't redo you, not a remodel, it's a new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's built in. When you become a Christian, you're a new creation. The problem is you keep going chicken. And when someone who is eagle sees chicken, you go, dude, what are you doing? You're a Christian. You're a new creation. Yeah, but I don't know anything about that. I'm going to go back to where I came from. I'm going back to this chicken coop. I'm going to go live this chicken life. Like, what are you doing? This is not why Jesus came and died, buried, raised from the dead. He made you a new creation. Say, okay, God, just ask simple questions. What does that mean? And what does that make available? What does that make possible? Old things have passed away. Everything's new. Well, what does that new look like? What does it feel like? What is that life going to be? Live a new life. Don't go back to the old life. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read you a few verses here because it kind of spells it out. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. And let me give you a brief definition on the word futility: emptiness, worthlessness, pointlessness, vain thinking, thinking that is void of truth and purpose, a mindset disconnected from God, focused on selfish desires, temporary pleasures, worldly values, thoughts that do not lead to life, wisdom, or godliness, but are ultimately empty and aimless. In the futility of their mind. It's a total waste of time. What are we going to do this weekend? Oh, let's go out Thursday night. What are we going to do when we go out? Oh, let's pick up some chicks. What are we going to do with them? Well, we're going to try to sleep with them if we can get them drunk enough. And then what are we going to do? Well, we're going to dump them. And then we're going to go out Friday night and try to find some more chicks to get drunk and sleep with. Okay, and then we're going to do Saturday night. We're going to find some more chicks to get drunk and sleep with. And then we're going to do Sunday. Well, we might party a little bit, but we got to get sobered up enough for work Monday and get enough money to go back and live like a crazy person Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. That's all you got? Now, if that's all you got and you're a chicken and that's all you got, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Go for it. But I'm telling you, there's way more to life than that loop, that futility. And he said, yeah, I'm glad you're being hard on the men. Who are you? There's girls out here getting drunk and sleeping with strangers. Oh, no, he took advantage of me. How about you took advantage of you first? I'm not saying this can't happen to women, but a lot of women are taking advantage of themselves by putting themselves in a position to be used and thrown away. And then you're brokenhearted and go, what happened? I don't know. You keep making the same decision. Well, I just want to feel loved. Well, why don't you let God love you? And then you love him back. And then you realize, well, if God loves me, I can love me. Now I love me. Now I can love my neighbors myself. You're not doing this to me anymore. Right? I'm not living this way. Enough. He said, well, you're just trying to keep people from having a good time. I'm not going to tell you it's not a good time up front. Maybe, oh, well, this is great. But if you get caught up in that loop, you start doing crazy stuff. Now you got guys putting stuff in a girl's drink and, you know, now she's passed out and you're having sex with her. Like, what, have we lost our minds? We're so terrified we're going to get left out, FOMO. We're going to miss out on something. And God says, yeah, you're going to miss out on something, the only life you're ever going to have. And if you give it to me, I'm going to maximize your life. You're going to have it not steal, kill, destroy, but live life and life abundantly. Give me a shot, right? So keep reading. Therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, there's no conscience even anymore, have given themselves over to lewdness, just doing crazy stuff, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Interesting how that gets included. But you have not so learned Christ. That is not what you were taught, what you were told. That's not what the book says is the life you're supposed to live. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the lust that lied to you, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm telling you, I don't miss out on anything. I got my challenges, but I sit with people and God, you know, I've shared this before. I've never been drunk. I've never been high. I don't know anything about that, but I've listened to so many horror stories. God was so kind to me to avoid all of that and anything else you can get caught up in. And I'm not saying I don't have from time to time a thought, you know, well, I have these crazy ideas of business and, you know, if I went and did that, I could make a bunch of money and... But then you start running, and it's interesting that we call them traps. I'm going to run those traps. Usually the traps that you run are traps. And then I arrive at, okay, maybe I'd have some more money, and maybe I'd live in a this or that or have this or that, but like, I wouldn't get to do this. I'm not trading this in for money. Are you kidding? You can't pay me. You know, there's money involved. I make a salary, but it's not like, oh, I'm missing out. I'm going to quit. You say, well, yeah, that'd be terrible if you do that. Then why are you doing that? Why are you selling out? Why do you give the devil your life? Why do you give the flesh your life? Why don't you stop and say, God, am I who I'm supposed to be? And am I doing what you want me to do, living the life that you want me to live? And if not, let's make changes. And then all of a sudden, the peace, the joy, all this stuff, the stress, the anxiety, the performance, the trying to get people to like you and love you and accept you and all that nonsense, that noise just settles down. I know God loves me. Whether you love me or not, he loves me. Right? I didn't know that for a long time. accepted in the beloved, perfect, complete, all these things. You say, yeah, but you screw up. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with how much he loves me. God will never love me any more than he does right now, and that is always true. I can screw up, but he will never stop loving me. So I'm not living some life to get him to love me. I have his love. Philippians 4, just a couple more and we'll shut her down. Philippians 4, 11, this is one of the most misquoted verses in all the Bible I'm about to read you. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to be in the Olympics because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not going to be in the Olympics. You can barely get out of bed. You're breathing heavy getting the mail at the mailbox. Yeah, but the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what it's about. Look at what this is about. So I'm going to use it, but in its context. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. The issue here is contentment. I know how to be abased, meaning barely have enough. I know how to abound more than I need. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the context of the verse. So when you have barely enough, you have food and clothing, which is what he promised you, and you say, well, I can't do this, then the scripture says, yes, you can, because you can be content with food and clothing because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you say, well, I'm getting, and most people don't even know this is a thing, but now you got more money than you ever had. He's blessed you so much. And now you're like, I don't think I can handle this. Now the prayer is, God, give me wisdom to handle having an abundance. And he says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'll give you the strength to handle it. Just don't go crazy on one end of the spectrum saying, well, I'm going to stop trusting God. And man, you can't imagine what comes through this church. People come here and they're coming out of a life of maybe not so much doing drugs, but selling drugs. I had one guy in particular, and he was selling weed. He was selling some other stuff eventually. But he was working, but supplementing his income with drugs, selling drugs. And I said, dude, you can't do this. And he said, but I can't make it on this. So finally got a job and learned to be content with that, but he could not do it because he wasn't trusting Jesus. And he wanted more, and he wasn't making more. So the drug dealers are always coming by going, hey, new car, new house, all these drugs. Come on, come back and work for me. And he took the bait. You say, well, that's terrible. Well, that's his category of doing it. What is your category of doing this? How are you selling out? Yeah, but if I go do this, then I can have this or go this place or whatever. Man, contentment, there's no way to be content unless you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you can, right? Give me strength, Lord, to be content. There's an old song by Steve Miller Band. Anybody know what I'm going to cite? Fly like an eagle. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. And then it says, I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. I want to fly like an eagle. Let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free, oh Lord, through the revolution. So let's change these words up. I want to fly like an eagle, let his spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free, oh Lord, through the revolution. You don't have to die a chicken. You can be an eagle, but you don't have to die a grounded eagle. You can soar. You can be everything that God has for you. You can fly. You can get above your circumstances. And whatever that life God has for you that you're not living, you're trying to go back to the old ways. They didn't work before. They're not going to work now. Yes, they do work temporarily, but they don't bring satisfaction. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus satisfies. And people say, well, if you'd back off of the Jesus thing and the cross and the burial and the resurrection, you could attract more people because they want to change. Your life will never change unless you admit that you're a sinner, you're lost, you need a savior. Jesus is the only one who can save you. You're not going to think yourself positively into heaven. You're going to repent. He's right. I'm wrong. Change your mind. Trust him. Follow him. That's when your life changes.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis coming to you from a football field about 1 foot from the goal line. And that's about how we feel at RichardEllis.com. We have some exciting stuff going on. Kind of blows my mind, actually. AI has changed the world, and it's changing our world where we can reach our world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So how do you help? We've got the team in place, the technology in place, the systems in place. It's not as easy as just feeding the message into a computer and it spits it out. It takes a lot of work, which means it takes a lot of funding to pull this off. That's where you come in. We need you to step up if you haven't already and be a part of this team and help us get this thing over the goal line. So let us hear from you, richardellis.com, and we thank you in advance for your help. Love you and look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, this is truly an exciting time for us to be able to share the messages from Richard in other languages to accomplish our mission, and that's to take the planet with the gospel. If you believe in this program and Richard's unique ability to share the good news in a fresh, relevant way, this is your chance to join us in this mission. Jump over to our website, richardellis.com, or call us at 855-6-RICHARD. We're ready. Are you? It's time. RichardEllis.com or call 855-6-RICHARD. We can all do this, but it's going to take all of us. Go to RichardEllis.com to support this incredible mission or call 855-6-RICHARD. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.